warm there. So I want to introduce our guest, and I'm really excited. And this is Janet Connor. And I always feel that our guests can talk about themselves better than I can talk about them. Like, we know ourselves the best, we hope. So would you like to tell our audience about you? Because I came across you and your website, and what intrigued me was your books, especially your book on, you know, diving into the soul. And the title, I'd like you to share the title yourself. But that's what really intrigued me with this series, Write Your Story, Heal Your Life.
Oh, and I was so thrilled to hear from you, because I did write my story and I did heal my life, and I continue to show up every single day in deep soul writing, because the healing is not a one time. Yeah, maybe you get through a particular trauma, but it's really, the big aha is that this is really a practice. It's a way of living. I show up every single day and have this rich, deep, surprising conversation, because I'm not in charge of where it goes. And so I'm Janet Connor, and the book that Allura is referring to is my first book, only I didn't know it was going to be my first book. You don't know that when you have your first book. It's like, this is my book. But deep soul writing opened, it opened some kind of window inside of me. And now, there are a lot of books, and they're all about the living life from the soul. My radio show is called The Soul Directed Life. This is, if you're living from the guidance that effortlessly comes through, if you will just get out of conscious mind. Conscious mind, particularly in the West, we're so well trained with judgment, logic, performance. Is this good enough? What's your grade? How'd you do? Did you get that promotion? We are so indoctrinated that it's really a miracle that we're not walking around with our left brains kind of
yeah,
you know, half again as big. And so what's so glorious, why people love writing down your soul, is it is an easy, so easy that people feel that it's a miraculous way to drop out of conscious mind and into, call it the subconscious, call it with Jung, the collective unconscious. In more spiritual terms, you could call it infinite mind. Really doesn't matter what label you put on it. And the label I put on it is round open door into the soul. So, taking a long time to answer your question, who are you? Because I actually struggled with that for a long time. You know, your typical bio in the back of a book. Let's see what it says. This book came out in 2009. Janet Connor teaches workshops, retreats, online courses, da-da-da. So your typical bio is, Mary Smith is a writer, author, teacher, retreat leader, right?
Yeah.
And indeed, you can sort of watch my bios shift and change, because I'm struggling with, well, wait a second, who am I? What am I? What is it that I have to offer? And I actually just went through this, because my seventh book, Find Your Soul's Purpose, is coming out right now. And I put some very serious thought into, how am I going to describe myself? Who am I? And I think my publisher kind of went, you sure about this? But I am sure about this. So it says, Janet Connor is a writer, soul community creator, poet, and spiritual field guide. Because I really don't want to use that word teacher. Because the word teacher, whether you intend it to convey that I've got the answers and you don't, whether even if you aren't going there, the word has been used, the label has been used for so long in the West, not to mean opening you. It kind of comes across like, I know something you don't. And so you're in my classes, whether it's fifth grade or English 101 in college or a spiritual journaling course. And so I don't want to use that word. And I tried to use the word catalyst for quite a while because that is, I don't have your answers, but boy, am I a catalyst. But I decided in the end that I am a spiritual field guide. I'm a field guide. I have been poking around since 1997 in these fields of the soul. And you know where I got this aha? It was actually in Costa Rica. I had taken a group of soul riders on a retreat. And you know, Costa Rica is just, it's paradise, right? You think you're in the Garden of Eden. And our field guide, our tour guide, he loved his country so much that it was coming out of his pores. And he would stop the little van we were in. Ooh, 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 sloth. Ooh, 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 poison frog. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And you know, this guy does these tours probably every single day. And yet, it was like it was the first time. It was back in my hotel room as I'm writing about him. And what an honor it is to be with someone who adores his country or whatever tour. And then I realized, wait a second, I'm a field guide. Because I'm stopping the van to say, oh, look, deep soul writing. Oh, look, sacred spiral. So I decided that although I don't think there's anyone else using that term, I am a spiritual field guide. But here comes the best part. The rest of the sentence is, but first and always, be deep soul explorer. So in the end, this is really all I'm offering, but I think it's the biggest thing you can have in your whole life, is I'm inviting people, get out of conscious mind. Come on. Drop into the theta brainwave state. That's what we'll talk about now, about, because that's the door.
Right.
That's the door. And Rumi says in this gorgeous poem that I've loved for over a decade, the door is round and open. People are going back and forth between worlds. Don't go back to sleep. I fell in love with that poem a decade ago, and I'm still learning from it and realizing that's it. It's a round open door, and I visualize it as being in your spiritual heart, and that's what drops you into creativity. That's what drops you into breakthrough thinking, solutions that just come out of the sky. It's all about getting through the round open door. So I'm a field guide. In the fields of the soul, helping people come through this round open door to access their own wisdom, their own divine voice, their own guidance, their own creativity. And it's turned into quite a few books.
That is quite a few books. And that's so, it's so interesting and intriguing what you're talking about, because as an artist myself and as a writer, I want to know more about the theta, you know, the theta consciousness, you know, and how you can access that. I mean, I need more information, and I'm sure that our viewers are, I believe, I was going to say mainly artists, even if someone doesn't say I'm an artist or a writer. I've had, you know, there's been a couple of interviews that I've done in the last couple of days, and both people have said that they truly believe that everybody is an artist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not going to be able to come up with exactly where I heard this story, but when I say it, I'm sure you'll go, oh, yeah, yeah, I've heard that too. Somebody said that if you step into a kindergarten class and you say, who's an artist, every hand will come up. Oh. And if you go up later in sixth grade or high school, you know, maybe you'll get two or three. And so in this brief period of time, we, with this left brain, do it right, get ahead focus, we squash this natural creative ability, which is the upflow of the theta brainwave state. So although I do not get up at 4 a.m., I just know why the magic for him and for you is at 4 a.m. And it is because of the theta brainwave state. Every single one of us just by being a human, is wired naturally to access the theta brainwave state at least twice a day. Now, once you become a deep soul writer, guess what? You can access it all day long. But just being on the planet, as you are falling asleep at night, your brain waves slow down. So the Western, American, European, judgmental brainwave state is beta, beta, B as in boy. And it's high stress, hypervigilant, get it done, worry. If you're worried, the brainwave people, I'm not a brainwave scientist, I just read what the brainwave scientists tell now that I've sort of discovered that what's really going on with all creativity and all spiritual practice is accessing that round open door, the theta brainwave state. And they have said that the only brainwave state in which you have access to creativity is theta. And if you are worrying, you're in beta. And in beta, you can't solve a problem.
Right.
You cannot solve a problem. Which you might say, well, what do you mean? Why can't I think my way through my problem? But just stay with this for about a quarter of a second. Mm-hmm. If you could think your way to a solution, if you could solve a problem by sitting here worrying about it, making your charts, pluses and minuses, trying to get yourself logically through it, don't you think you would have solved the problem?
Right?
I mean, it's kind of a duh moment, but if you're worrying, debating, wondering about this same problem a week later, a month later, a year later, how about 10 years later, it's a pretty good clue that thinking your way through it ain't going to get you anywhere.
Right.
So we drop out of the beta brainwave state because you're headed for deltas, really, really slow brainwaves. Obviously, you're not going to fall asleep. Your body, your brainwaves have to drop, is the way I visualize it. So you start out in the beta brainwave state, and then you're going to slow down a little bit into alpha. Now, this is the very kindergarten version of brainwaves, and I even have a wee little chart in the book. But, I mean, this is the most simplistic explanation of it. I think I have a little picture in here. But I'm not finding it for you fast enough. So alpha, everybody knows about alpha, even if you're not conscious of being an alpha or you've never even heard the term. Mm-hmm. But you remember maybe a decade ago there was a book out called The Zone.
Yeah.
This is about getting into that really beautiful workplace where you're productive, you're focused, and you look up at the clock and what?
Right.
What do you mean it's 9 o'clock at night? Where did the day go? And you've done this exquisite work. Well, you've been in deep alpha. So the brainwave scientists explain that in deep alpha, you can do magnificent self-reflection. That's why your therapist tells you to journal, right? So you can do self-reflection, and you obviously can do lovely work because you have this beautiful focus as you get into deeper and deeper alpha. But what you're doing, even in deep alpha, is collating, shifting, moving, reorganizing what you already know. It's information that's already in there at some level. Then you drop into theta, and theta is slow. It's 4 to 8 hertz. And that's the round open door. That's the magic door. That's where you are at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's where he is when he writes. Deepak Chopra gets up. Same thing. Meditates. Boom. He's writing while it's still dark. I heard Wayne Dyer say that he gets up at 3 to 4 a.m., just picks up a yellow pad, here come all his books. It's because you're in this natural theta brainwave state. And this is where the creativity, it's a floodgate. It just comes flying through. And then finally, as you're falling asleep, you're in delta. So now let's shift to the morning. You're coming out of delta, and there is this magic window. And it can last a long time, if you know how to make it last a long time, which is what you're doing at 4 a.m., what he's doing at 4 a.m., what people who get up early and meditate are doing. they can stretch that window. And I have a very unusual way of stretching that window that I now share in every single course. I call it morning theta. Hmm. In morning theta, you're in this magic place, the liminal state. Hypnagogic, it's also called by brain people. But the simplest way to think of it is just, oh, I'm not awake yet. I'm out of delta, so I'm just barely becoming aware that I'm waking. Mm-hmm. And the mistake that we make, because we've been trained to make it, is the alarm goes off, you get up, you start thinking, what do I have to do today? Oh my God, don't forget to get a belt, take that food out. And what you've done is you've yit your brain waves up into beta. When the natural state would be to come out of delta, just barely be aware that you are waking, and stay there. Stay there in the round open door. Stay there. So here's how I do it. And it may be different from what you're doing in the morning. It's different maybe than what Craig teaches, but this is what I do. I lie there. Mm-hmm. I do not sit up. I do not blink my eyes. I do not turn my head on the pillow. I am just there. I'm present. I am not trying to think. I'm not trying to remember my dreams. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just this open container. Now, when you first do this, and everybody in my courses, my Deep Soul Explorations, okay, Jen, I'll try that. And at first, it's weird. You know, you're lying on the pillow going, is anything happening here? But if you'll just give yourself this space, and if you find your mind going, you just come back. And so it's really like meditation. Come back into this neutral. I like the image of the round open door. You don't have to do a thing. And suddenly, you're totally remembering all the details of your dreams. Oh, yes. Suddenly, you're hearing, because your clairaudient capacity is wide open. This is where I heard the name of my radio show, The Soul Directed Light. I had this deadline for it, and the deadline was the next day. And I had been doing everything I know not to do, trying to, you know, come up with it, and how's this sound, and what do you think? And I knew. You know, they were blah. So as I was falling asleep the night before the deadline, I said to, you could call it your angelic team, you could call it your creative committee, you could call it divine source, I don't care what you call it. I simply said, boys and girls, I'm going to sleep. You are coming up with the name of the radio show. And then I went to sleep. But because I have this habit of just lying there in the morning, I'm just lying there. I'm not worried about it. I'm not even thinking about. And I heard as clearly as if someone were standing next to the bed, the soul directed life.
Wow.
Now, where did that come from? So it was in me or rising through me, but as long as I was trying to solve the problem, it couldn't get my attention. So if we simply make ourselves available, mm-hmm. last thing at night, first thing in the morning, and then the reason people love writing down your soul and meditation and prayer and all kinds of practices, all you're doing, but you're doing it when you're awake, when your eyes are open, when the sun is up, or maybe you're doing your deep soul writing at 10 o'clock at night. It doesn't matter when. My particular practice is to say some opening prayers in the morning, and then from within that space, I pick up my journal, I have a few books that I'm reading, and I just go back and forth between reading. Some people call that Lectio Divina. So I'm reading in this very spiritual way, slowly chewing the words, letting these ideas come to me. And then I'll pick up a pen, speak to beloved vibration of Sophia, tell her what I'm reading, get some more downloads, ask some questions. So it's just this juicy space. And every day, I've been writing this way for 20 years. Every day, I'm just floored at an idea that comes through on the page. An idea that I never had. A direction, a piece of guidance, something to remember. The guided meditations for this book. They would come to me in my dreams, because once you know how to play in theta, slipping into lucid dreaming is actually very easy. People are frustrated because they read dream books and they say, well, I can't remember my dreams. It doesn't work. But if you have a 24/7 practice of slipping through that round open door, what do you think you're doing at night in your dreams? You're flying through that round open door. Your soul's taking you on absolute adventures. And so what I noticed in the last couple of years is that I am being taught at night. I'm all the way through that round open door looking around, and I saw the spiral in this book. I saw the guided meditation. So all I had to do the next morning was say my prayers, because that's how I start my day, pick up a pen, say, beloved vibration of Sophia, exclamation point, and out of my hand, before I could even ask, came all of the very specific language for these mystical guided meditations. Janet on her own, trying to think her way in the beta or even alpha brainwave state. I couldn't write these books. These books would not exist. They might be useful. They might be kind of self-help books, but mystical books that take you through the round open door and have you access your own internal divine wisdom, your soul's unique voice. No. Janet could never have come up with that. And then there's one other thing about the early morning hours that you might be really interested in. Because everybody in my courses and everybody I know, they'll start, if you start to talk to them about sleeping through the night, what happens in the night, everybody will say, you know, I wake up between 3 and 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. Haven't you heard that?
Yeah.
Now you're consciously waking up at 4 a.m.,
yeah.
But even before you consciously decided, did you notice that often, not necessarily every single night, but often?
Yeah, I did.
I just sort of took it for granted, and I actually am thrilled to be awakened in the middle of the night, because it's just one more opportunity to come up through the theta brainwave state. And here's what I do at night. As I'm headed to bed, I take a cheap yellow pad, a cheap ballpoint, ready to go, all the way already open, and I clip it, and I put it on my nightstand. So I go to bed with it.
That's so
with
great.
Paper. Now, why do I do this? Because I'm awakened in the middle of the night so often,
yeah.
With an idea wants to get my attention. It wants to be remembered.
Yeah.
So I don't turn on the light. I just roll over and write whatever I hear. Yeah. Now, Wayne Dyer got entire books, so he would wake up and sit up and write his books. I really don't want to wake up and write a book by hand at that hour of the morning. I'm trying to see if I can show you an example.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what it looks like. So, I heard something, and see this little chicken scratch. I tell myself to write bigger, but when I'm awakened in the middle of the night, I think I'm writing big, but you can see it's tiny. But I can read it the next morning. And then, this is so important, you have to put the pen down below where you are writing. You only make that mistake once, because you wake up in the morning and you've written over and over and over and you can't read anything, and you're so sad because these were poems, these were brilliant ideas, and so I train myself in the middle of the night, and then I'm awakened again, and I write a little something, and I say thank you. I say thank you, and I put my pen back, and then I'm awakened again. So the next morning, once I've finished my morning theta, all I have to do is, oh yeah, oh, right. Or sometimes I look at it and go, what was that? And then in my morning writing, to beloved vibration of Sophia, I'll say, I'm really sorry, but I kind of missed that last night. Could we talk about that again? But most of the time, I can read it. And so, do you see? Oh, so I wanted to finish this thing about 3 to 4 a.m. So I'm awakened. I know how to take advantage of that. But honestly, I didn't understand how precious this 3 to 4 o'clock time period is until I started reading books about near-death experiences. I had probably a dozen guests on the radio show talking about death. And one of them was P.M.H. Atwater, who has written a bunch of books. She herself had 3 near-death experiences. So I read her books and went, whoa. I mean, this is a whoa book. And then her last book came out, Dying to Know You. Mm-hmm. If I can get my hands on it quickly, I'll even show it to you because it's so exciting. Let me see if I can quickly. Yes. I about came out of my chair when I discovered this. So she says that when you've had a near-death experience, and she's interviewed now 4,000 people that have had them, they have a pattern. There are certain gifts or attributes, and she lists them. See that long?
Oh, my goodness.
It's 21 or 22. So I'm reading the list, and I went, wait a second. I've never had a near-death experience, and I could go check, 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 check. And then you get to this one about wakes up around 3 to 4 a.m. and has vivid dreams.
Ah, how interesting.
What? Okay, so listen to what she says about this. Did you notice that part about waking up around 3 a.m.? A curious finding until you start digging around. Levels of melatonin, the hormone that regulates sleep, peak in the brain's pineal gland between 3 to 4 a.m., effectively converting light waves into energy. At the same time, the deeper function of the pineal gland goes into high gear, producing DMT, and I'm not even going to try to read that to
you. Yeah.
Considered the spirit molecule and associated with mystical experiences. Medically, the time from 3 to 4 a.m. is known as the hour of the wolf and is linked to congestive heart failure and death from chronic conditions. Spiritually, that same time frame is known as the hour of the muse. An auspicious time for inspiration, uplifting ideas, innovative art, and opportunities for wisdom making. And then she goes on. Add to this. Now we get to the aha. Add to this. The fact that Schumann waves, the base frequency of the earth, called the earth's heartbeat. Have you ever heard of Schumann waves? Until I read this, I had never heard of Schumann waves. Now, I'm hearing about them all the time. Add to this the fact that Schumann waves, the base frequency of earth, called the earth's heartbeat, rise during this time. Most crop circles in the world were and still are formed. Really? So think about this. Your body, which is light, which is energy, you are a spiritual being, a soul, having a human experience. You're an embodied soul. So this exquisite instrument that we have been given is actually in communion with the energy waves of Mother Earth sufficiently that Mother Earth's heartbeat connects with our heartbeat and we wake in the middle of the night to take these mystical creative downloads.
Amazing.
Isn't this though? So you see why I'm a tad obsessed with the round open door, with the theta brainwave state, with deep soul writing, because it's this magical window that gives us access to the truth of who we really are, embodied souls. And your creativity.
So if not everybody wants to get up at 4 a.m., 3, 4, keep a notepad by your bed because you probably will wake up.
Well, this is sort of the good news, bad news. Once you begin your deep soul writing, your meditation practice will expand, your prayer life will expand, everything. Just because what you're doing when you're deep soul writing, and there are seven things that you can do, very simple, seven steps to drop out of conscious mind so you're no longer journaling. Have you noticed you don't hear the word journaling coming out of my mouth?
Right.
Because in journaling, you're in the alpha brainwave state. And so writing down your soul, as far as I know, is the only book about writing. And funny enough, when it came out and for the first 5 years it was out, it was always the number one book in the journal writing category. And I would think, but actually the entire point of the book is to stop journaling. But hey, there is no soul writing category yet in publishing.
That's wonderful, because it really is what I wanted to bring to the audience, to the viewers of, you know, the subject of releasing writer's block. And so writer's block and how writing your story can be transformational and healing. So the more that we can find out from each person that I interview on on their own personal experience of writing their story. And with some people, one author who I interviewed, Beth Barani, who's just wonderful. We had this incredible conversation around creativity and writing. She does creative, mainly creative fiction rather than nonfiction or memoir writing. But we were also talking about how even in fiction, you're often bringing your own story in.
Oh, yeah.
But also this, what do you do as a writer or an artist on, you know, whatever your art is, when the artist block comes up? And I think what you're speaking to is there is this magical time. And my yoga teacher a couple of days ago called it, it was Ramanan. I've forgotten what the last word was, but he said it's a specific name. I'll have to look this up for when you do wake up at that time in the morning.
Oh, so it's like a mantra, morning mantra.
It's a mantra, yeah. So he gets up, you know, three or four, and he practices yoga. And I get up at that time, and I would love to practice yoga, but I'm writing. So then I go to yoga. It's like I have to make a choice right now of what one I do first. And so that there's actually a name for that in Sanskrit. And I might remember that towards the end of our interview. But I think in so many traditions, they talk about that is the time to wake up, to meditate, to write. Yeah. So I love what you've just brought forward with the information that you've researched and that you practice with theta, you know, with the theta mind, theta consciousness. And also, you know, giving that a practical tip of keeping a notepad by your bed. And like you said, you know, you don't necessarily want to get up then. And I think a lot of viewers are just like, I'm not getting up then. but you're awake. So, you know, to have that pad and that, you know, a piece of paper, but have the pad and the pen by your bed. And like you said, you don't even turn the light on.
No.
And you just start writing notes.
You know what I think happens when you bring a notepad next to you on the nightstand? You're saying to your unconscious, you're saying to your creativity, I'm here for you. So if you are going to tell me anything in the middle of the night, I'm ready. And almost all creative souls have discovered that when you don't have a notepad next to you, that you'll still be awakened and it'll be an idea, a poem, a phrase. And you say to yourself, this is so beautiful, this is so perfect, I'll never forget that.
Yes.
Morning, and it's gone.
Yes.
I remember hearing, now let me see if I can remember this correctly. I'm going to say it's not Mick Jagger, but who's his, isn't it Keith Richards that's the guitarist?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, now, you know, forgive me if I'm off, but it's the famous lick in You Can't Get No Satisfaction. I'm pretty sure I'm connecting those dots. He sleeps with his guitar.
Oh, my goodness.
He sleeps with his guitar. And he said for exactly the same reason. If he is awakened in the middle of the night with a chord, with a tune, he knows if he doesn't get it in his hands right then, it will be gone.
Interesting.
Isn't that though? So this isn't just writers. When, for my very first book, Book Lunch Party, some friends gave me this beautiful book lunch party, and they brought in a jazz musician in St. Petersburg, Florida. And so he's playing. I mean, it was just the most beautiful party. And when they asked me to please talk a little bit, I mentioned writing in the middle of the night, the Theta Brainwave State. Stan Hunter came up to me. Now, this is a fairly famous jazz musician, or at least famous in our area in Florida. And he kind of yanked on my skirt and he said, I do that.
Wow.
I do that. And this was the first time that I was perceiving it outside writers. This was the first time I realized that this is nothing special for writers. This is all creators. He said, yes. As he's falling asleep at night, he says, okay, big music writers in the sky, I'd like a new song. Falls asleep. He said, without fail, he's awakened and he hears the melody, the couple of measures. And he rolls over and writes the music because a musician knows how to do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Says thank you, goes back to sleep. He's always awakened the second time with the next measures.
Right.
He says thank you and goes to sleep, knowing he says, I won't be awakened again because the great musician in the sky knows that I can write the bridge. I go to you with, what? What?
Wow.
So then I began to kind of talk to artists of all kinds. I have a very dear friend who is a plein air artist in California. And I said, Kay, when you're painting, and you're in your studio, do you perceive, do you feel that there's somebody in the brush in your arm painting with you? She looked at me like, she said, duh, of course. She said, of course, you can feel it in your hand. Well, I feel it in my hand in my writing. So I have a feeling this is completely universal.
Yes.
Maybe dancers see the choreography.
Yes.
I haven't checked with a dancer, so I can't give you a story. But if a famous musician, a beautiful artist, Stan, you, me, I really think this is a this is how we're wired.
I agree.
So this thing about writer's block, I was on a teleconference with writers once, year or so ago, and this topic came up, and they put me on and said, what do you do about writer's block? And I was kind of embarrassed. It's like, am I really going to say this? And I said, well, I'm going to have to be true to my what I know and the way I live. There's no way 7 books come out of you in 7 years. And I said, I don't know what writer's block is. And they all kind of went, what? What do you mean you don't know? And I said, actually, I have the opposite problem. I have so much fabulous ideas, books, titles flying through me that there are times I have to say, enough.
Wow.
I'm a human. I have no idea, Allura, what writer's block is. And I think it's because I'm open 24/7 in the theta brainwave state. For example, tell me if this happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
I typically have my shower in the middle of the day. I'll get some writing done. First, I have my prayers. I do my deep soul writing. I get these fabulous downloads. And then I come up here into my writing space. I say a few prayers in this space, my soul vows and my soul purpose. And then I sit right here, exactly where I am, and start doing my professional writing or teaching my courses or whatever. I even do the radio show right here. This is my magic. So I digressed, and now I, the shower thing.
Yeah.
The brain, I was saying to the right in the sky, and where was I going? So I'll work for a couple of hours, and then I'll just feel this nudge to take a break. And so I'll go take my morning shower at, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Do you know what happens in the shower? My first editor at my publisher, when I told her I had this fabulous download, she laughed. And she said, oh, you found the phone booth to God, didn't you? The shower is the perfect place to go through that round open door. Because, now I'm not going to remember if it's negative ions, positive ions, but, being in that warm water, you have white noise, right? So you're in, and it's a very sensual, it's a full sensory experience. And are you really going to sit there and try to solve a problem and do some thinking? No, you get into the smells of the soaps and, you're just having this sensuous, gorgeous experience.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed that I get fabulous ideas in the shower. Example, when my second book came out, The Lotus and the Lily. So the first one has this owl, which of course was the publisher's idea, but everybody loves the owl.
Yes.
And then they showed me the cover of this one, and The Lotus and the Lily is about the teachings, the parallel teachings of Buddha and Jesus on how to create a beautiful life, and it is has nothing to do with our law of attraction prosperity teachings. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. So when I saw the cover, I went, what's a butterfly doing on the cover? Where's Buddha? Where's Jesus? Where's the mandala? I couldn't figure it out. So I called my publisher and said, it's a very pretty cover, but why is there a butterfly on it? And they said, she said, oh, we see an iconic animal on every single one of your books.
Ah,
and that was it was all I could do to keep from crying. That was the first moment I understood that I have a long career with this publisher.
Yes.
The Canary Press is,
yeah.
We're in partnership. So I was so floored by this piece of news that I knew I couldn't sit here and write. So I took a shower. It's what writers do. And do you know what happened to me in the shower? I saw the cover of all my books.
Oh.
Because they come from Your Soul Wants Five Things. Which, by the way, I heard in the morning. Little voices, the same voices that said the soul-directed life. I woke one morning clearly hearing Your Soul Wants Five Things. I didn't understand it, but I knew these are my marching orders. And I have spent the time creating the books and the live courses for the five things. And so with the last one, this is the first thing your soul wants is to connect with Source. The second thing your soul wants is to commit to values, that's soul vows. The third thing is to live your soul's purpose, and the book with the butterfly actually is the fifth, and of course I put it down, so now I can't find it, the fifth thing your soul wants. So that just leaves the fourth thing, which is to express your soul's beauty, and I guess I'll be writing that.
You're writing that.
Yeah.
I'm
in the shower.
Yeah.
Floored by the fact that my publisher has just told me they love me. And I see the covers. I knew that there was a whale. Now, I hadn't written a book. I wasn't even teaching this course. I knew that this was a whale. I knew that this was a swan. And I know what's going to be on the cover of the Express Your Soul's Beauty.
That's...
Where did that come from? It's you're in. You can slip into the theta brainwave state effort. In the shower. You can do it driving. Did you ever hear the story? I think it's from Lou Reed. I think it's a Lou Reed story. That he's in Los Angeles driving on the highway and clearly hears a poem and a song coming in, and he's mad because he's on the highway, and he actually yelled at the great musicians in the sky, and he said, "Can't you see I'm driving a car on a Los Angeles freeway? Come back later." Well, I'm not going to say come back later. So what I've discovered in the car is that when something comes through, say it out loud. Just say it out loud. Say it out loud. Now, you got to have the radio off. Mm-hmm. Say it out loud. If you say it out loud several times. Now, some of the people in my classes, they'll do that recording thing on their cell phone. I don't do that.
Right.
But I have found that I get great things. So you see, the round open door is always open.
Yeah.
And it's always, and so we creatives, when we just exercise that theta muscle.
Yeah.
Writer's block. I don't know what that is.
That's so great. That's so great. So on that note, because it sounds as if theta is really working for you. It really works for you as a whole person, holistically and somatically, and it empowers you, and it's empowering you as a writer and and doing all the things, amazing things that you do, including your radio show and teaching. And I'd really love our viewers, especially viewers who are watching this because they found this interview from another author and another coach or entrepreneur, and just to really go over to your website to find out more about you, more about the work that you do. And, you know, I know that I want to read every single one of your books. I'm going to have to get up even earlier with a busy day. But also for you to, you spoke a bit before we actually started the interview about the free gift that you're going to offer our viewers. And I'd love it if you would share what that free gift is, because it actually coincides with writer's block and what seems to has been a big key of you being, you know, so prolific and so creative.
It is. It's all about getting into the theta brainwave state. And the first way I learned is with a pen in my hand in deep soul writing. And so when the book came out and I began to teach it, I found myself saying these seven steps to get into the theta brainwave state over and over and over. And finally, I had it professionally recorded. So it's a 45-minute workshop, just as if you were with me. And I walk through these seven very simple steps that you can take in your writing practice. And from the very first one, which is to set your intention to exit conscious mind, right away you've left journaling behind. All the journaling books, and there are a gazillion of them, and some of them are really quite lovely, they don't say the very first thing you do is have the desire, the thought. Maybe you simply take a breath with the conscious awareness, but you are clearly saying to your spirit, to your being, let's get out of conscious mind and access infinite intelligence. The second thing you do is address the voice by name, by name. Did you hear me say, I pick up a pen every morning and write, beloved vibration of Sophia, exclamation point. When you do that, you are once again, you're confirming to your being, your spirit, your soul, I want to have a conversation with that which is within me. It is within me, but it's so much greater than me. So it's this mystical paradox, which only makes sense with the concept of the round open door. So this divine intelligence, which is so much bigger than you, somehow comes through the tip of a pen when you invite it forward with the intention to exit conscious mind, and then you confirm that by giving it a name. And there's a chapter in Writing Down Your Soul that explains you don't have to panic about what's the name, what's the name. The name will come. In the short term, a listener can write, dear one, dear beloved, dear voice, dear friend, any name at all. And eventually a very intimate personal name. And then you activate all your senses and you write by hand and so on. They're simple. These are very simple. And I think this is why people love Writing Down Your Soul so much, because yes, we go to meditation class, learning to slip out of conscious mind in meditation isn't simple. You know, there's a reason that we practice, then we practice, then we practice, then we practice. And then you don't have a record. You don't have a tangible memory. You have a feeling of something that happened in meditation, but you're not getting, as a rule, the name of your next book. Right? And so writing down your soul is this access to this divine intelligence, and you have a transcript. Or pictures, drawings. My soul writing is sort of morphing into soul sketching, because when a mystical idea is coming through, it doesn't always make sense in words. And so these pictures will start to show through. And so in this 45-minute teaching video, which I typically sell at my website for $50, I would like to just offer it. You'll send out the link and people can give their email address and poof, you are with me in this 45-minute teaching video. And then just bring it to life. Just start.
Right.
Listen to it once or twice. Pick up a pen. Set your intention. Address the voice by name. Write quickly. Ask lots of questions. Activate all your senses. And at the very end, the video will explain why you drink water. It came from a blind Navajo shaman. And you actually bring the wisdom that came through on the page into your body at the cellular level, but drinking water. So it's a full sensory, mystical.
That is so wonderful. And on that note, I think we're going to wind up today, and I know that we'll be speaking again in the future, but that's such a generous and exceptional gift to offer our viewers. So I really hope that each and every person will, you know, just hop over to your site, because, you know, it's the gift that I really feel, well, you're offering the gift, but it's as individuals, as people who are coming over to receive it, it's receiving. Mm-hmm. Gift, and it's a gift to yourself, it's a gift to us as individuals, and a gift on our creative journey, and this journey that I call the journey of life, you know, and the journey of our finding and embodying our soul's journey and purpose. So I really appreciate everything that you've shared today. You've shared a wealth of information. It's been wonderful talking to you, and I really appreciate your time. And I know you have the new book release coming out, so our viewers will be able to look at your book more. And I'm sure it's on Amazon as well. So ordering directly
around the world. Around the world. A Facebook friend just asked, "Can I get this at Amazon.it Italy?" I went, "Gee, I don't know. I went on Amazon.it, and the Kindle, the ebook version is there. So I think you can get it absolutely everywhere. As they say, the books are sold.
That is fabulous. And also, I believe that you have podcasts of your radio show.
Oh, yes. The radio show, we're now in our fifth year, and Unity FM, the platform that it's on, bless them, those podcasts, they're permanent. And so once a person goes to the Soul Directed Life, you can scroll down and listen to Matthew Fox and Andrew Harvey and Banafsha Syed and Cynthia Bourgeois. And it just goes on and on and on. You can't have more fun than I do doing that radio show. And same thing, when people come to JanetConnor.com, there is a link to the Soul Directed Life right there. There's a link to my most current course. There's a link to my newest book. And in the gift department, in addition to the gift of the video, my assistant and I tagged on a coupon for a $50 discount on any one of my live.
Incredibly generous. That's really generous. And you've been very generous with your time today. And I'm really looking forward to speaking with you again in the future. And you're going to be, I know, writing more books and all more wonderful things.
I actually sat up in the middle of the night 4 days ago with, guess what? The round open door. And I know this is clear. This is what I have to do. It's a book of poetry. I went, poetry? Okay. So yes, I have writer's block. No. I don't know what that is.
That is fabulous. I love it. Well, I will be in touch with you very soon. I really want to keep up in, know what you're doing, because you're doing so many inspiring and exciting things. And for today my wonderful cat just jumped on my lap.
I'll take that as an affirmation, because the cat is the embodiment of the wisdom of the universe, right?
Yes, I totally agree. My little cat I found her as a street homeless kitten who was emaciated in Turkey, and brought her home, and now she's a big, healthy cat who's just love, pure love, and she's also a survivor. So we all find our ways to go through in the world, and thank you for your gifts that help us to get through and to do inspiring things. So I will talk to you very soon. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you.